Hey guys, welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees.
All right, so obviously we haven't recorded an episode so far this season. We had some stuff come up, and this episode's kind of just going to be a breakdown of what's happened so far this year. We'll start with our expectations going into the year and then kind of how it unfolded. We'll talk a lot about opening day because Jatinder and I were at that game, and it was pretty awesome game overall. We'll talk a bunch about that, and then we'll kind of get into just kind of some summaries, key points of the series. We'll talk a little bit more about the Tiger series since it just happened, but obviously the season hasn't been exactly what we would have wanted so far, but we're still over 500 and in second place. Better, one game back.
Better than how we started last year. That's something. At least we didn't like completely shoot ourselves in the foot where we have to like kind of get on a roll just to kind of get back in the division. We're just one game out after, you know, a couple series of good.
And the rest of the division hasn't gone off on the right foot either. Like the Red Sox last year, I think we're way ahead at this point. They started the year really hot.
Yeah.
Which isn't the case this year. Luckily, we're still right in it. But yeah. And we have our MLB predictions that we still need to record. We've made the predictions. We just haven't had time to record the episode. It's been a really busy couple weeks for us with the holidays and whatnot. But we'll get that, and we're definitely gonna get in the groove of things here with getting our episodes out a little bit more frequently. And I think next episode that we record, like the next series recap, whatever, I want to try and do a live stream. So if you guys are interested in that, I'll tweet it out and post on our Instagram when right before we go live, and you guys can come check that out if you want to. But as always, it'll be on YouTube after and all of our podcasting platforms. And as always, if you like this episode, please leave a rating and review or comment and a like on YouTube. It really does help us a lot. And always check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. So to get into our season, to get into like the preview of what we kind of expect to go into the season, I guess I can let you kick it off with some of your high level stuff.
So I know we talked about this a little before, but I did think the Yankees could win the division. I really liked our pitching. I think a lot of people kind of slept on our pitching. Yeah. I really liked it. I thought Cole would be an ace. I think Sevy's going to be back. It's just a question about health, but I really did think him, Sevy, Tyone, Cortez, I thought they were going to pitch lights out. And then you have Monty right there as well. Like, I really thought we had a good rotation. And then I thought our bullpen was going to be really good. And I thought there was a couple of, like, breakout stars that I thought could come out. And that was Michael King and Clark Schmidt. And so far, they have been doing what I thought they would be doing. So our pitching has been great.
Yeah, I kind of share your same sentiment. I was really confident in our pitching. It would have been, sure, it would have been nice to get another starter, but like looking how our starters have pitched right now on top of Clark Schmidt, who we'll talk more about throughout this episode, like unless it's a top of the line starter, there's not really a spot for them on the team. And even if it was top of the line, it's who do you move out? It's kind of a tough call right now. But then the offense is, I think we both thought it was improved on last year. It wasn't a huge, massive improvement. Like, we're going to be the best offense in the league. But what has happened so far this season is not what I expected. I hope it's just attributable to cold and just a slow start like the Yankees tend to have a lot. But we've scored 39 runs in our first 13 games. That's the least since 1977.
That's terrible.
However, on the bright side of the pitching aspect, if it was ruined by the final two runs scored today, but if that score held, it would have been the least runs the Yankees have ever allowed in their first 13 games. So that's pretty encouraging. Obviously, adding two runs, it's probably still up there. Definitely still is up there with the least amount of runs ever allowed. So it's not the typical Yankees. You usually think offense with mediocre pitching, but right now it's elite pitching with mediocre, not even mediocre, awful offense.
They're not the Bronx Bombers.
They have 11 home runs in 13 games. It's how we have, we got shut out twice in the entire 2019 season. We've been shut out three times already.
That's insane. Like, okay, how do we compare against the rest of the league? Because I know a lot of players, just playing fantasy, I see a lot of players that you think are better are kind of cold. Like, the one couple of exceptions are Jose Ramirez and Matt Olson, who seem to be hitting everything. Vlad as well, Freddy. Although he's kind of in a cold streak now.
Yeah, it's our overall offense is still like bottom five of the league. Player by player, it just happens that like we don't have some of our players are playing well. Judge isn't playing that bad if you just look at his slash line. But when you look at our runners in scoring position averages, I'm pretty sure the worst in the league. It's putrid. It's worse than Kevin. I saw a stat today. Our OPS with runners in scoring position is that of Kevin Newman's last year, like just overall, and he was the worst qualified hitter in the league. Like, you're just not going to win consistently if you're that bad. Like, we were bad last year, but it wasn't this bad.
As a team, we were hitting as bad as the worst player last year.
With runners in scoring position.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, and it's incredibly frustrating to watch because they string together hits. You're like, okay, here's the inning. They're going to score some runs, and then they just figure out some way to screw it up and not score anything.
Yeah, we've had a lot of opportunities. We had bases loaded against in that Red Sox series. We still haven't talked about the series yet, but it's just crazy. We've had our opportunities, and we just can't bring guys home. And it's frustrating to watch as a fan, you know? You're like, okay, this is the inning. This is the inning. Yeah. Nothing happens. Like, Ryan texted me when the Yankees scored more than five runs in a game, in a nine-inning game, just because it hasn't happened.
We've done it twice, right? We did against the Orioles, and we did against the Tigers. We've done it twice.
Yeah, like, not counting the opening game because that went into extras.
Yeah, and the Red Sox don't have good pitching, so that should have been easy. We should have done it multiple times. We didn't. The Orioles or the Blue Jays, like, they have pretty decent pitching, so that, like, getting shut out by them is it sucks, but it's what we shut them out twice.
It depends who's pitching. Like, if you have their top half of the rotation, it's like, yeah, I could see us getting shut out by those top guys. But yeah,
and then the Orioles and Tigers both shut us out. That's I'll mention it in the Orioles series. It's not that crazy to me to get shut out by the Orioles. It's not good, but the Tigers is just unacceptable. Like, you. They're not that good. But yeah, so let's jump into opening day. This was my first ever opening day that I went to in person, and it being against the Red Sox is pretty freaking cool.
So it was supposed to be April 7th, but got canceled because of rain. Kind of sucked. You know, I really wanted it to be the first game after the lockout, just, you know, Yankees, Red Sox.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. It was raining all day, so it was never going to happen. And then that kind of affected the Yankees because with that rainout, they had to play 10 games in a row after. So that kind of sucked. But the opening day itself was quite an experience. That was awesome. What did you think, Ryan?
I it was one of the best days of my life. I mean, them winning the game was awesome. The ceremony was just... It was super cool to watch. The buzz around the stadium was awesome. Watching the hype video before the game, Ryan Rucco narrating it, that got me super pumped up. We had good seats, section 110 for anyone that's familiar. Nice comfy seats, but also prime foul ball territory. That'll come up in a little bit. I mean, they won the game on a walk-off. The only thing that made that day worse was Judge. The Judge extension stuff.
That
sucked. But everything else, the weather was amazing. Like, game-wise, awesome. Nothing you can complain about.
Yeah. So it was weird is that they had an announcement that was like Cashman's going to announce something, and we're just like, it's kind of weird to have a press conference to say that you're not going to sign a guy. Because isn't that obvious by you not signing the guy? Why do you need to make an announcement? Like,
Yeah, I mean, everyone was like, we were talking to a guy next to us in line. He was like, yeah, definitely that has to be him signing. Like, why would you have a press conference without it? And then they announced that they didn't sign, which we can mention that really quick. It's over now. Like, he didn't get extended. It was a fair offer. Judge thinks he's worth more. I think that that's going to lead to a lot of pressure on Judge, because if he does not play as well as he did last year, he's going to lose out on a lot of money. Especially if he has below like an 850 OPS this year, his value goes from 32 million, 33 million a year to like 25
I think he has
at
to take a
best.
pillow contract at that point if he
Yeah.
has anything less than an 850.
Yeah.
Like, if he has an 850 just like that, I think he could still get a big contract, but not the contract the Yankees offered him.
Yeah.
But anything less than that, I think he would have to, even though it's tough at his age, you have to take a pillow contract and hope that you have another monster year.
Yeah, or he
But I.
signs long term for less money with the Yankees. That's,
Yeah.
and then I think he has to have a 900 plus OPS and 30 plus home runs and stay healthy at the minimum to get what he wants.
Yeah. I thought it was a fair offer, but I was kind of excited to see him decline it because that means he believes in himself, right? He
Yeah.
has to be confident. He's like, I'm going to put up MVP
Yeah,
numbers.
and yeah, part of me is like, all right, now he's playing for a contract. Like, we might see 2017 Aaron Judge again. But the other side of me is like, he has so much pressure now. Like, 2017 Aaron Judge was a rookie just having the time of his life. Now, if he doesn't play well, he just lost out on tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars.
I think the Yankees did not do him any favors by announcing the contract. Because if you come out and just say we didn't come out with a contract, they announced the deals of the contract to kind of put pressure on him, to kind of have that leverage over him. And now I hate to see fans boo him if he goes on a slump and they'll be like, oh, you should have signed the contract, should have signed the contract, idiot. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of a, I didn't like that move to just announce it like that. Say, yeah, we gave him that offer. You could have just not announced the move at all. Just it would be obvious by not having the deal.
Yeah, and like, I love Judge. He's my favorite player, if not like him and Glaber. Glaber's kind of falling down. Sure, he's got his bobblehead. He's kind of Glaber's kind of falling down the pedestal a little bit because of how bad he's been. But Judge, like, I want him to re-sign if he has a good year. But like, if he leaves, I won't be like heartbroken if some team just signs him to an insane contract. Like, that might happen. But that We have a lot of options with this team if that does happen, because then we really only have Cole and Stanton. And like, those are two big contracts, but we're the Yankees. We spend our payroll's 250 million. Like, we have a lot of money. And there's a certain someone that's a free agent in a few years and might get traded if he doesn't sign a long-term contract soon. And if we got him, if we got Juan Soto and lost Aaron Judge, I'd be like, okay. Like,
I
we're in a
can
better
very
spot
much
now.
accept I could very much accept
Yeah. Like,
that trade
if the
off.
Nationals were like, hey, we'll trade you Juan Soto for Aaron Judge right now, I'd be like, yeah, let's do it. Like, Juan Soto is going to be the best hitter of this generation. He's ridiculous. He's better than Aaron Judge. I love Aaron Judge, but he's not Juan Soto. He's also
And he
not
has a
23-year-old
brighter future.
freak. But yeah. So that sucked. But back to the opening day game. I mean, obviously started out slow with Gerrit Cole allowing.
So, actually, before we even get into the actual game, it was weird is that there was a delay in the game, right? So, you
Yeah.
remember when they were calling out the Yankees, they had like the whole thing was like 5, 4, 3, 2,
Yeah.
1, and the Yankees are supposed to run out on the field, and they never did. And we're just
Yeah.
like, we were kind of waiting. We was like, come on, guys. You've been waiting this whole time. Where are you guys? Show up.
Yeah.
And yeah, it apparently, the game got delayed because Billy Crystal was going to throw out the first pitch, and you know, they kind of delayed it for that, and Cole was kind of upset for that. And the game did not start the way he wanted. Yeah, so you want to go into that? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, and I remember when Devers came up to bat, I was like, I don't have a great feeling about this, like, blah, blah. And then he hits the home run. And
Well, the game started with a four-pitch walk.
Yeah. And then Devers came up, and I was like, I don't feel good about this. Then he hits a home run. Xander gets a hit.
3-0.
JD gets a double to make it 3-0. And that, like, took the wind out of everyone's sails. Cole started getting heckled and all of that fun stuff. But then we bounce back. Anthony Rizzo hits a two-run home run, gets us right back in the game.
We absolutely needed that. So, like, I know Cole kind of said it was because the game got delayed, and I kind of believe that, just because I feel like he was kind of amped up in that first inning, and he was just like, I just want to throw the ball. Like, that four-pitch walk kind of confirms it to me, is that that really did affect him. And then, like, at that point, he was just pissed, so he was just throwing the ball. He wasn't, like, trying to locate the ball or, like, try to do it. He just seemed angry. Yeah. And then he started getting hit around, and then he's like, okay, I got to calm my nerves, you know, figure it out. And then he kind of he did figure it out after that. There was no more runs after that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I don't think it's a valid excuse. Like, he's paid to be the best pitcher on the team by far. He's paid to be one of the best pitchers in the league. You can't let that affect you that much. But I agree. I think that actually did affect him. It wasn't him just making up some BS reason of why he got shelled in the first inning. Like, because after, like you said, after the first inning, they got, like, a couple hits and barely hit the ball hard at all. He looked like Gerrit Cole should look. So that was nice. The Rizzo home run was big. And then in the middle of the game, DJ LeMahieu hit a foul ball. And I got it. I have it in a little case now. Just, it's my first ever foul ball at a major league game. So I decided to put it in a little case just to protect it. But that was, I mean, it hit the little facade right behind us. I turned around, somebody hit it over to us, and I just grabbed it. I mean, that was such an exciting moment.
It just went by us, ricocheted, and then it just so happened to, like, land right in front of Ryan. And Ryan was like, that's mine. I'm taking it.
It was like some girl missed it. Also, I want to point
it was
out,
a girl. It was a woman. I don't want you to think like
there
it was
were no
a
kids around.
Girl
us.
And Ryan just took the ball.
Yeah, no, there were no kids around us, which I was grateful for, because I would have felt obligated to give it away, and it was my first ball, so I wanted to keep it. But I did not take the ball from any kid. This woman missed the ball, and it, like, rolled by her, like, between her and the guy next to her, and I just turned around and grabbed it. So that was awesome. And then obviously Donaldson walked it off. Which, awesome game.
So we got this commemorative ticket. Can you see that? I don't know if you can.
Yep, now you can. Yep.
Yeah. So we got this commemorative ticket. That was awesome. Like, just everything about that game was awesome, and the fact that the Yankees won in extra innings, like, you couldn't script it any better. And the weather was great. Like, it was a beautiful day for baseball. So
All around amazing, amazing game, amazing day. Can't really ask for much more. So then, just bouncing through the rest of the Red Sox series, obviously we won the second game. Seve had a pretty good start. First time through the rotation, a lot of people had really short starts, but Seve looked good. He looked like he could get back to 2018 Seve, which would be an absolute game changer for this team.
Our bullpen was great. I think we had 6 shutout innings coming out the bullpen. Even going into game one, we also had really great bullpen work, but it was great. I think, was that Miguel Castro's first game as well? And it was weird to see him because he still
he pitched opening day.
Oh, he did?
I remember, I could see the dip in his lip running from center field, and we were on the first base foul line. Like, that dude is something. But we won the second game. Stan and Rizzo homered that game, didn't they? And Stan homered opening day too, so Stan had 6 games in a row with a homer against the Red Sox. Rizzo had 3 going back to the wild card game, remember Stanton and Rizzo both had home runs that game.
Yeah.
And they both homered in the first two games of this series. We start the year 2-0, feeling great. Going for the sweep against the Red Sox.
It was kind of a scary moment that Monty got hit.
He
got hit, and I think it was in the first inning as well. It was like after he got an out, maybe it was two outs, but he got hit in the leg, and just like immediately I was like, oh, he broke his leg, because the way he like reacted, but he somehow gutted his way through it. I thought he was going to go on the IL for sure just the next day, because like, sure, you could pitch through it with adrenaline, but like the next day I was like, oh yeah, he's going to feel it and he's going to be like, oh, I'm going to go on the IL. But somehow he pitched through it and made his next start after that as well.
Yeah, and he gave up two runs in that inning, which seemed to be a direct result of his leg not feeling right, but then just settled down. I think he might have given up the third run too, I believe.
I think he did.
But yeah, three runs after that, I'm happy with it. Like he guts his way through it. But like many of the other games this year, the Yankees just...
We had our opportunities to score. We had the bases loaded twice that game. Didn't do anything. I think it was Hicks first that hit into a double play, and then it might have been Aaron Judge that hit into a double play. I can't remember.
Sounds right. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So we had our opportunities. It sucked, but at least we won the series. So it's a nice way to start the season. You know, we won the series against the Red Sox, and then now we have the Blue Jays. Like, that was kind of the real test for me.
Yep.
Was the Blue Jays. You know, it's always nice to, you know, kick your enemy, but I was like, really, this year, I think the Blue Jays are the scariest team.
Yeah, definitely. That offense is very potent. And we start off the series getting completely shut down by Manoa, which it feels like he shuts us down every time we face him. Tyone only gave up two runs. So, again, the pitching was good this game. They gave up three runs to the Blue Jays, which that's great. And our offense should have been able to score more than three runs, but they scored nothing. And it was the first shutout of the year. I mean... I don't really think there's a ton to talk about from this game. Like,
yeah, I'm trying to remember anything that came out. Maybe King, I think, came out in that game. You know, kind of, I think he's going to, like I said, I think he's going to be a breakout guy, and he's going to be that multi-inning guy. Same thing with Schmidt, where I think they're going to give, and especially early in the season, like, that's key, is that starters are not stretched out yet. So, you know, they're not going to go, you know, 6-7 innings, and then obviously that did happen later on in other series, but you know, pitchers are not going to be all, you know, worked all the way up, so you need to get guys to cover those innings, and I think those two guys can do it.
So the first game was it was rough. We lost 3-0, but then we bounced back in the second game and won 4-0. And that was Nestor, right? Nestor's first start?
Yep.
Yeah, so Nestor completely shut down the Blue Jays offense. He struck out. Oh, yeah, wait. In the first game. Oh, no, sorry. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the third game. But yeah, so Nestor shut down the Blue Jays offense like Nestor does. I mean, he's such a fun pitcher to watch. He goes completely against the traditional ace, and I'm not saying he is an ace right like already, but like he has pitched like an ace really since he's a starter, and he just throws low 90s and just is funky and gets people out, throws them off balance. The bullpen didn't allow a run. Clay Holmes looked great, got his first win of the season. Aaron Hicks hit a home run, which was cool, two run home run. What else? How did we get our other offense that game? Looks like Stanton got an RBI. I think we scored. We scored off an error, I think. I think they tried to do a pickoff to third base.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or first base, and we scored off that. So, yeah, that game was cool. I mean, shutting out the Blue Jays offense is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, really hard.
And we did it. So, that's sweet. The next game wasn't sweet. Vlad Guerrero hit
Vlad did not like getting shut out. Vlad did not like getting shut out. So
Vlad put it on himself to personally make sure that the Blue Jays did not get shut out the next game. Gerrit Cole was starting, thought it was going to be a good game. Was hoping he'd rebound, and he looked good.
It wasn't the worst game in the world, but he definitely didn't have his, like, A stuff. Like,
I would say he had his B stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, Red Sox game, he had, like, his C-plus stuff. This game, he had, like, B-plus.
Yeah.
We'll get to the Tigers game, but he just... The first home run to Vlad, that was just a bad pitch. We go down 2-0. It was a hanging slider. That was a solo home run. Sorry. That also, Hicks almost caught that. It went in his glove.
Yeah.
And then it came out. Yeah. But that second home run that Vlad had, that pitch was multiple inches off the plate inside 98 or something miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's like five hitters in the league that can hit that for a home run.
Yeah.
That was Vlad being Vlad. Like, Gerrit Cole's on this team to beat players like Vlad, but there are times where they're just going to beat you.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, there's nothing he could have done about that one. That was just Vlad's double. And that
made it 3-0, right?
Yep. Yeah, that was the two-run home run. Then Vlad's double that took Gerrit Cole out of the game. That was just another bad pitch. It was a middle fastball. Mm-hmm. He's lucky that wasn't a home run.
But at that point, the game was tied 3-3, I think, because I think Rizzo hit a home run and then Judge hit a home run.
Yeah, they went back-to-back.
Yeah. Yep. So that was awesome. You know, we were kind of like, oh, we're down 3-0. Let's see what we can do. You know, that was also something just starting the season. Like, the Yankees did come back from deficits, which was, you know, good to see just because, you know, it's nice to see your guys, like, kind of rally and stuff. But it's kind of demoralizing when you see guys like runners in scoring position and they don't score. Come on, guys.
Yeah, and it's this game. It was fun. Like, when they tied the game up, and I was like, "Oh, we might beat them here. We might win this series, or at least split the series right here." And then Vlad comes up in the seventh inning against Loaisiga and hits another home run in on his hands. Like,
yep.
I mean, that one wasn't as egregious as Cole's, like, but he still hit that ball 400-something feet when it was a pitch in on his hands. Like, Vlad learned that we like to pitch him inside and didn't let us pitch him inside. So Vlad's one of the best hitters in the league. Sometimes you just get beat by him. Tonight, or that night, was one of those nights. And then was it... How did they score the other two runs? I feel like it was like a double, or so they got two more runs, and then it was 6-3. Glaber hit a home run, which was cool, to make it 6-4, and thought there was a chance, but didn't end up working out.
But Vlad, it was the Vlad show, and he was the difference maker that game.
Yeah, so. And then Cole let us down again, which has been the story of the season so far. But then Thursday, Sevy comes out and just absolutely shuts down the Blue Jays lineup, struck out Vlad three times after Vlad homered three times. That's baseball for you.
And that was the first time he struck out three times against the same pitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's never struck out three times against the same person in one game. And I love that it was Sevy to do it. Sevy shut down the Blue Jays offense. Our bullpen came in, continued to shut them down, and shut them out for the second game in a four-game series.
But remember, in that game, we kind of made it a little scary at the end because Chapman came in. It wasn't just like, you know, bullpen shutout. Chapman kind of made us worried. He walked. It was 3-0, and then he walked three straight hitters. Clearly did not have it.
He had to face three hitters.
Yeah, he had to face three hitters because that's the minimum. But as soon as he faced those three hitters, Boone was like, all right, get out of here.
Yeah.
And then they brought in Michael King. And at this point, I'm scared. I'm just like, okay, we're going to blow this game. Yeah. He gets one out. And then who hit the ball to get the double play? Because I remember, it was Bichette. Yep. And it was Chapman that got that didn't make it back to first, because Vlad was on deck, and it's like you can't make that mistake with Vlad on deck. You can't stray too far off first to get double played.
And it's not even like DJ made a crazy play to get it. It was just it was a line drive right at DJ. I don't know what Chapman was doing. Like,
we're talking about Matt Chapman at this point. Yeah,
and DJ didn't even, like, it wasn't an instant transfer to throw it to first. He, like, caught the ball, landed, gathered himself, and threw it to first. Like, Chapman was, I don't know why he did that, and he ended the game for the Blue Jays. Like, we'll take it. Mike King. That was awesome. But, like, that with Vladdy on, like you said, with Vladdy on deck, you cannot do that. Yeah. But we're not Blue Jays fans, so I'll take it.
So two games that we shut out the Blue Jays, you know?
Yeah, top three offense in the league by every projection. So
I feel really good about our pitching, you know?
Like, it's hard.
So after that, we were, what, our record is, what, 4-3?
Yes.
4-3? I think that sounds right.
Yep.
So it's like we know we could have gotten a better record at that point, but you'll take 4-3, you know?
Yeah.
Against the Red Sox and Blue Jays, now you're like, okay, now we're facing the Orioles, the Tigers. We face the Orioles twice. We have the Royals coming up. You feel good about these next couple of series. You wanna talk about how these series went?
I want to just wipe the Baltimore series from my memory. We went 11-8 against Baltimore last year. That is a large reason why we didn't have home field advantage. Tampa went 18-1 or whatever against them. That's the main reason why they got first place and won the division. And I was just gonna say really quick, the division winner of the AL East every year for the past like 5 years is the team with the best record against the Orioles. So it matters.
These games matter, but it seems like even last year, it seems like for whatever reason, Boone kind of takes it easy in these games and starts resting guys.
Yeah,
and you're like, okay.
The eighth game happening? Of the season, and Judge is not playing.
Yeah. So,
in a contract year, in his prime.
You should beat the Orioles even without Judge. I get it.
Yeah.
But why are you not playing him this early into the season? Especially since you know that against the Orioles, you got to beat up on the Orioles. These are games that you have to win. Just good teams beat the Orioles. That's simple as that. And we were tied. I think was Tyone pitching that game? I think it Monty?
Monty.
It was Monty? Okay, yeah. So Monty pitched. He wasn't the best in that game. I remember he was shaky, but he got through it scoreless. And you're like, okay, I feel good. We're winning 1-0. You're like, it's not enough, but we are winning. And with the bullpen, you're like, okay, it should be able to. Yankees bullpen did cough it up, but it was 1-1 going into extras, and we just could not hit at all.
Yeah. And I think my only theory of why Aaron Judge didn't play this game is because he got the vaccine. Like,
oh, I didn't even think about that.
We didn't even sit Judge that often last year. Like, I remember stretches where I feel like Judge played like 20 games in a row.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason Judge should have been sitting that game unless he got the vaccine and like had some side effects.
I didn't even think about that. That's actually.
And that's why Rizzo might have sat.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. So if you don't know, there were reports of the Yankees being unvaccinated, and there were concerns if we play Toronto, they won't be able to play. So recently, Boone was able to say confidently that all my players are going to play that series.
Yeah.
So that means something changed between spring training and now. They must have gotten the vaccine, so now they can play. We don't know who, but everyone's got it, and we theorize that it was Judge and Rizzo. and they didn't play those games, Ryan, I think you might be right. It just makes sense to me in
like,
my head.
Rizzo's what, like 35, 34, however old he is. Like, I guess I could see him sitting. That was the 10th game of the season, I guess, because of how our infield is constructed. But Judge, there's literally no reason Judge should have sat. That makes no sense.
It was 1-1 heading into extras. We lost off a walk-off walk.
This was quite possibly the worst baseball game I've ever watched. Anthony Rizzo got... No, Aaron Hicks got picked off trying to steal third to end in... Or to get the first out or end an inning, one of the two. Rizzo... Something happened with Rizzo, I think, that game in base running. And, like... He got hit by a ground ball.
Yep. So this is in extra innings. You start off at second. And then... was it Hicks that hit the ball? Someone hit the ball. And then it hit him in the leg trying to advance to third. So it was Stanton. It hit him in the leg. So Stanton gets a hit and Rizzo's out. And you're like,
now we don't have a runner in scoring position. It was just like everything that could have went wrong that game. And then to top it all off, we get the bases loaded. And the genius Aaron Boone brings in the guy that couldn't throw a strike against the Blue Jays with the bases loaded. He brings in Aroldis Chapman. Everyone and their mother knew how that was going to end. Let's also talk about how Clark Schmidt struck the guy out with two outs. Like, that they should have never even gotten into the position. He struck him out, but the ump was like, nope, sorry, that's a ball. Then he walked him. And then Chapman came in, did the same thing.
It was one out at that point. Chapman did get the first guy out, and then maybe he did look. He looked much better.
And Clark shouldn't have loaded the bases. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, because Clark Schmidt had the second out, and then Chapman got the third out theoretically, if they called it correctly. But bases loaded, two outs. Chapman walks in full count, walks in, and lose.
Chapman threw two strikes. At bat that weren't called strikes, but like the fact that he brought in Chapman.
I think that ball could have been called a strike.
Yeah,
it could have went either way. There's
a down and away pitch that could have been a strike, but go ahead.
Boone got ejected after the game ended because he was arguing that call. He was like, "That's not a ball. That's a strike." And then he's kind of like, he's yelling at the umpire as the umpire is trying to leave the field. He's going into that little runway, and the umpire has to tell him, like, move, I'm trying to go in, just because he's there just screaming at the umpire. So pretty funny looking back. Not funny at the time because we lost on a walk-off walk. Come on.
To the Orioles.
The first game of the series. We needed to sweep them.
Yep, and to set the tone, we scored one run. Against the Orioles.
Yep.
Like, to be fair, Jordan Lyles was pitching, and he's looked like their best pitcher. And he had a good game against the A's recently. Like, he's not good. Like, he's not a great pitcher. We should have scored more runs. But, like, that was their best pitcher that they have right now because Means is hurt. But, yeah, so going into game two, now it's like you got to win the next two games. We cannot lose to the Orioles. Obviously, we all know what actually happened. But this game scored five runs. That was the first time we did that in nine innings.
But it was frustrating because we didn't immediately score five runs. So we didn't score. So I think we scored in like the second inning in the first game. So at that point, we have like a 12-inning scoreless streak, 13-inning scoreless streak. It was a rain delay. We're losing, I think, what, 2-0 at that point? 1-0? I
can't remember the score.
It was 2-0, yeah. So we were losing 2-0. That's right, because he gave up the home run, the two-run home run. But, yeah, so we're losing 2-0. It goes in a rain delay. We know it won't count as an official game, even if they call it. But it was just like you're feeling bad immediately as soon as the game resumes. Yankees offense just, like, something happened. They figured it out. Switch happened. Josh Donaldson hits a home run. We're up 5-2.
Yeah.
4-2, I think.
I also want to mention IKF. This was one of his multi-hit games. I'm pretty yeah, it was. Jose Trevino went 2-for-4 with an RBI, and yeah, Donaldson hit the 2-run home run. He finally did something after the walk-off in the first game of the season. We won this game 5-2 again. Like that one home run by Cedric Mullins, their best player. Other than that, great pitching again. Theme of the year. Even the game we lost, great pitching. They allowed 2 runs in 11 innings. Yeah. So we won that game. That's cool. Now we need to win the last game to win the series. And the Yankees went ahead and got shut out by the Baltimore Orioles.
It was a great pitching up until that last, I think, the 8th inning. But Cortez was amazing.
Yeah.
That was what a performance.
Immaculate inning.
He had an immaculate inning. He struck out like 6 guys in a row, maybe 7, right?
Yeah, 6 but or 7. 12 total. Yeah,
12 total in 5 innings. He was amazing. And then, you know, Chad Green comes in, pitches good. He got into trouble, but, you know, he pitched out of it. And then Lauasiga
It was Lauasiga.
Yeah.
And it. As soon as they hit that ball, I was like, yep, that's cool. Like, this game's over. Like, we had 4 hits. 4.
Mm-hmm. In that game, it's tied 0-0 with IKF and Higgy coming up. Torres bunted the ball. That tells me that he's not confident in himself.
Yeah.
Because that's a situation, and it was a runner on second, right?
First, I think.
Not first.
I'm pretty sure DJ was on first.
Okay. But DJ's on first. He bunted the ball to get him over. You know, I know you're like, oh, that's a good play. You know, he's moving the guy over to set the table for the next guy. The next guy was IKF and Higgy. Come on. You should be swinging away. And, like, at that point, like, he has to feel broken, demoralized, if you're bunting against the Orioles, a team that you dominate.
Yeah.
And once again, Higgy and IKF is coming up. They're not going to hit a home run. Like, he should have been swinging away. I don't know.
And I don't understand what's going on, like, behind the scenes with Gleyber, because, like, it's obvious to literally everyone that knows baseball that's watching these games and every commentator, it's so obvious what's wrong with him right now. He's extremely pull happy and isn't on balance, but, like, is no one in the Yankees hitting department noticing this and trying to fix it? Is he just stubborn and doesn't want to change? Are they telling him, like, you're going to hit more home runs this way, so just, like, have faith and it will happen? Like, because he should be like DJ. That's the type of hitter that Gleyber should be. That's what we thought he would be. That's what he was his rookie year, and, like, the home runs came because of the juice ball. But he was hitting a lot of opposite field home runs like DJ does. And Judge.
In Yankee Stadium, you'll hit your fair share of home runs just having that approach. You know, just hit the ball, then you'll get a couple home runs. You don't need to be a home run guy.
He started to do that more in the last half of last year, and, like, I don't know what, like, it has to be, because he has the talent. We've seen it. The skill is there. It's just, like, what is going on in his head and, like, the coaching that this hasn't been fixed. And, like, I hope it does, because I love Gleyber. Like, he is easily, like, when he's on, he is my favorite player. It's just been frustrating to watch him.
Yeah.
But they need to fix it. And, like, it's tough because, like, it's hard to warrant playing him all the time when he's this bad. But, like, he's not going to get fixed if you're not playing him. And, like, there's also there's the option of sending him down, but, like, what's that going to do to his confidence? Like, if he gets sent to the minors, is he just going to be broken forever because now he's like, I'm not even good enough to be on the team anymore? Or is it going to fix him because he can hopefully
work through some stuff
and bang up on some bad pitching?
Yeah, it's a tough call. He is the odd man out at this point, and it feels like we're coming closer to the end of the Gleyber Torres era.
Yeah,
and that makes me sad.
And if that era comes to an end and he doesn't rebound, I hope he rebounds with whatever team he goes to, because he's awesome when he is healthy, and or not healthy, when he's right. But, like, he's just not right now. And his defense at this year at second base has actually been, like, not bad at all. He had that one double play in... Was that this game?
It might have been.
But I think it was in the... They didn't end up scoring in that inning, I don't think.
Yeah, no. No, no.
Whatever. He had that one double play that he mishandled, and that's pretty much all I can remember from second base. Like, he had some shortstop errors, but, like, second base, that's... Mm-hmm. And he's had some nice plays at second base, and he's been turning the double play pretty well at second base. Mm-hmm. So it's not the defense that's the problem this year. It's just that he's not hitting. And it makes, like, it's the Cody Bellinger, Christian Yelich. Like, Cody Bellinger's a little bit easier to understand. Well, so Cody Bellinger, I think people learned how to pitch to him because he has huge holes in his swing. Yelich and Glaber, I don't really understand, because, like, they didn't have big holes in their swings and, like, approaches a few years ago. They just – I don't watch Yelich all the time, so I don't know what happened to him. But, like, Glaber is just
full happy Yelich and wants to hit home runs. I think Yelich's back injury and knee injury kind of really kind of sapped him of some power, and I think he just had low launch angles, and it's just that. Yeah. But Glaber, I'm mystified at why is he – like, because, like you said, like, it's obvious what – the issue is, and they're just not addressing it.
It sucks. But yeah, we lost game 5-0 to the Orioles.
Not really much more to say. Little inside baseball, we were going to record after that game, and Ryan was just so mad to record.
We were gonna record, and I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm gonna come on to this episode and just light up the room, swear every single word I say, and just yell for an hour straight. Like, I was not in a good position to record an episode.
But good teams don't lose series to the Orioles.
Yeah.
We're not a good team right now. We can't do that. And we got shut out for the second time at that point. Yeah. But that whole series, outside of that one inning after the rain delay, we scored, three runs?
Oh, yeah.
It was disgusting.
And back to the Boone resting people for no reason. Rizzo sat this game, but someone else sat. Gallo. Rizzo and Gallo sat. Like, he started Tim LeCastro, which Tim LeCastro made a crazy good diving catch that game.
That was cool. Yeah. In the first inning, I believe, too.
Yeah, like, and it was to save a run. So that, like, that was super cool. But, like, no. Don't do that. Like, let's not start Tim LeCastro and not play Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah.
I hate Boone, dude. Like,
the thing is that, like we said, it was like, you're resting guys against the Orioles. I get it, you should beat them, but these games matter. At the end of the day, these games matter. You barely made the playoffs last year because of these reasons. And then it also, you messed up on Friday, so you have that. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to rest these guys on Sunday. What are you thinking? Come on.
Yeah, like, if you're going to rest people in a series against a bad team, you need to win the series.
Win the series first. Yeah.
Like, today, the third game of the Tigers series, I was okay with the semi-punt lineup. I wasn't happy about it, but I was like, okay, we at least won the series. Like, I want a sweep, but, like, at least we won. Like, we're not sitting Aaron Judge game one. Like, so, yeah, we lost the series to the Orioles. We were able to beat the Red Sox and split the Jays, but we can't beat the Orioles, apparently. I hate what they did to their park. I used to look forward to going to the Yankees going to Baltimore because it was like an offensive slugfest, but now it's...
It's also, like, not as pretty to me.
Yeah, no.
I need to get used to it.
Yeah.
But, like, it just looks ugly, the wall.
And the Orioles scored multiple runs off of the fact that our left fielders had to play so deep that the Orioles were just bloop a hit.
Yeah.
That would have been an out.
Yeah.
But now it's a hit. Like,
because the field is more back, you have to play your outfielders a little more back. So he's, before you could play deep and then catch those balls that kind of, but now they're just dunking in. So yeah, that's annoying.
It's stupid. I don't like it. But yeah, on to Detroit.
The first game. Ooh.
I think we all knew this series was going to be a little rough offensively because of how cold it was. It was 41 pitches or 41 degrees at first pitch of game one. Garrett Cole was pitching. We were like, oh, it's cold. Offense is probably going to be pretty tough. Let's hope Garrett Cole has a great game, finally steps up to the plate. Garrett Cole walked five batters. Baez
at that point was on the IL. Oh, yep. Like I don't want to say he's the whole offense, but he is a big part of the offense. I know there's still Miggy. You know, you have Torkelson. Meadows is a guy they just acquired, but
Grossman's, you know, okay. Yeah.
But for the most part, Baez is probably the guy that you circle in the lineup. Who's like, be careful, you don't want him to get hot against you, and he's on the IL. So you should feel confident going into this series.
Yeah, and Garrett Cole looked good in the first inning, struck out three people.
Struck out three, picked up right where Cortez left off. Also, how cool is an immaculate inning, Ryan? That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, Jared Carrabas tweeted that, like, it's not cool and you shouldn't keep your ball from it and all of this stuff, and doubled down on a podcast that he feels that way. I thought it was a troll because, like, he was like, oh, it's an immaculate inning, just glorified striking out the side. Like, okay, then a no-hitter is just a glorified complete game shutout. A shutout is just a glorified complete game. A complete game is just a glorified start. Like, why should you care about any of these things? Like, yes, it's not as cool as a no-hitter, and it's not as cool as a perfect game. It's more rare than a no-hitter, but that doesn't make it harder or more special. Yeah. But, like, it's still cool.
Yeah.
Yep. And he tweeted when Sale had 2-1 year, I think it was Sale, and he tweeted about it, like, when it happened. He was like, oh, blah, 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 so cool. And then on the podcast, they asked him about it, and he was like, well, he did it twice. Like, but it doesn't matter. So why does it matter how many times you do it if it doesn't matter in the first place?
Yeah. Well, makes it, if it wasn't cool, then why is it cool that you did it twice? You did something uncool twice.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
whatever.
But the only thing, the only defense you can make for that is that you don't realize what's happening until after it happened. Because, like, when it happened, me and you didn't even realize it happened. Yeah. Like, we was like, oh, wait, it was an immaculate inning. That's really cool. But, like, once you realize that's really cool, I guess, you know, a no-hitter, you know it's happening. Like, if it you don't accidentally get a no-hitter and no one noticed.
Yeah, exactly. Garrett Cole looked good in the first inning. We scored 2 runs in the first inning, finally gave Garrett Cole a lead, and then scored again in the top of the second inning. Mm-hmm. How did our runs happen?
It was, I know Hicks had RBI. I think we had an error.
Oh,
it was the error.
That was the Donaldson thing.
Yeah.
We had the bases loaded and we would have scored no runs, but the ball went straight up in the air and it landed in the pitcher's glove and he dropped it. Mm-hmm. And we scored 2 runs.
Yep.
That we scored 4 runs this game. 2 of them were on that. And then they had a throwing error on a bunt that could have been a double play that led to another run and later in the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So then the bottom of the second inning, the wheel. Okay. Also, they lost their starter in the first inning because he just had a horrible inning. He threw like 40 something pitches.
We felt real confident. Also, inside baseball, after that first inning, we was like, oh, the Yankees are going to cruise through here. We were mad. Ryan was mad about the Orioles game, but we was like, okay, we'll record during the middle of this game and kind of like have little updates.
Yeah.
That second inning kind of, it stopped that completely. Yeah, we was like, no, we have to watch this game.
Yeah, Cole was looking good. We thought it was going to be a blowout. He was going to cruise through it. And then after the long delay, because in the first inning, it was a long inning. And then the second inning, their first reliever threw a, like, spiked a ball and got hurt and got taken out of the game, and then they had to bring in a new reliever, and it just took a while for the inning, and Garrett Cole had to sit for a while, and then he just completely lost it. I've never seen Garrett Cole that bad before in my life.
It was crazy. He was walking guys left and right.
Yeah,
like
four walks.
He clearly he clearly did not have it. He pitched, what, 40 pitches?
Yeah, 40-something pitches that inning, yeah.
Yeah, it was a bad inning. Bases were loaded, walking in runs, and it's just like, you're like, okay, here we go again now. It's like, how does this happen? He's our ace. You felt so good that first inning. You're like, the Yankees are going to cruise. They're up 3-0 in the second inning. Like, come on. This is a game that they should win.
He walked in a run for the first time in his career. This is the second time, first or second time he's ever walked five people in a game. I think it's the first. One of those is the second time he did it. One of those two, I'm pretty sure he did twice. I can't remember which one. But, like, this wasn't Gerrit Cole. Like,
it was not.
I don't care if you think he's going to be bad without Spider Attack, or not bad, but not going to be Gerrit Cole without Spider Attack. This is not what Gerrit Cole is going to be.
No.
Like, this was... He pitched for half a year without Spider Tech last year. He never even looked close to this bad. He didn't look this bad in the first two games. Like, what happened.
Yeah, it was just he had no feel for the ball. It just you could tell almost immediately that he had no control. And you're like, it was really just strange to watch. So he gets pulled in that second inning, and it's at 3-2. They walk in another run, or I think it might have been a sac fly.
Yeah,
something.
It was a sac fly.
Yeah. They brought in Clark Schmidt, and then, you know, we're going to have to, you know, piece together another bullpen game, a game that you did not expect to have because, you know, Cole's pitching. You expect him to go, you know, six innings, you know.
Yeah, and Clark Schmidt pitched 3.1 shutout innings. He looked great. Mm-hmm. Not really many. He could throw strikes. And then at least after the game in the post-game interview, Gerrit Cole owned up to it. Like, he made that excuse of the 4-minute delay in the first game. The second game, he's like, yeah, Vlad just beat me. And then this game, he was just like, I was trying to be too perfect. My pitches, I didn't have my fastball. It was just, I was missing off the plate instead of over the plate, which you would rather miss over the plate against the Tigers than off the plate.
Yeah.
But
are you concerned?
I'm not concerned yet. I'm mad. I'm not happy with his starts. Okay. I have, like, if you're like concerned on like a scale of like 0 to 100, with 100 being like, I don't want him to pitch anymore. 0 being, I think he's going to be an ace. I'd put it at like 15% right now.
Okay.
Because if you combine short and spring, the first two starts, he actually looked good. He just got roughed up a little bit in, like, certain spots. And then this game, it was freezing, and he had a long delay. I can't put that much stock into it.
The way I was thinking of it was, like, you know, red, really concerned, yellow, medium, and then green, no concern.
That'd be yellow.
At a yellow. Yeah. That's where I am.
I have a concern, but I'm not very concerned.
Yeah, like, I think he's going to turn it around. For the exact reason that you said, you know, short spring training, amped up a little, you know, it was cold, you know, I'm sure he'll figure it out. He's not going to be this bad. Like you said, this is not him not pitching without Spider Tag, and this is the new Gerrit Cole.
No.
He might not be that Gerrit Cole, but he's still a very good pitcher.
And people that point out last year's second half stats after Spider Tag, like, if you look at, there was that Twins game, I believe, was like the first game he pitched without Spider Tack, or it was a Jays game. He gave up like 5 runs in the first time he pitched without it. And then from June 9th, I want to say, until September 7th, that Angels game, or September 1st, like that Angels game. And then he got hurt in the Blue Jays game, the next game. So that span, he had like a 3 ERA.
I just point to his pitching performance against the Astros before the All-Star break.
And,
like,
but
explain
that's,
that.
And that's like, you can pinpoint one game, but like, that is a 12-start span that I just named, and that's a 3 ERA. And that includes the 7-run game against the Rays and a 5-run game against the Astros. Or not the Astros, the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Like, if you can have a 3 ERA with 12 runs and 2 starts, then like, he had a 0 ERA in August and 3 games, and he pitched 7... with, like, he had, like, 15 strikeouts or whatever against the Angels in that game.
Yeah.
Like, he looked good, and then he got hurt and wasn't good after he got hurt. He probably should have taken a few games off, but he's Garrett Cole, so he didn't. And, like, he looked really good without Spider Attack for a 12-start span last year. Like, I'm not worried. Once it warms up, if he continues to get – and he gets stretched out, if he continues to get blown up regularly, then, yeah, I'm going to be very worried.
Yeah.
But I can't put much stock into 11 innings of – I don't think it's been above 50 degrees. Actually, maybe maybe the Blue Jays and Red Sox games, but, like,
yeah,
but, like, that Detroit game, he should not have done that. That's not a, like, and it's not an excuse, but, like, I'm not going to use that as, like, okay, now Garrett Cole sucks. But, yeah, so that's that game. We won 4-2, so that was cool. Yeah. Like, we won a game.
Bullpen pitched great. It was a great performance by them. Shutout performance by them. Having to cover, what, it was 1.5 innings, so 7 2/3.
Yeah, and I want to talk really quick about Clark Schmidt because, like, we talked about this a little bit through text, and, like, I don't know exactly what I want them to do with him because I think he's good enough to be a starter. I think he has that potential. But you made a good point earlier. Like, having him and King to be able to get, like, multiple innings if your starter doesn't go super long, like, that is super valuable.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't want to take the starter potential. Like, King, we tried as a starter, and he didn't work out. He's better the way he is. Clark Schmidt has never really gotten an actual chance to be a starter. He got a few games in 2020 before he got hurt. But, like, he's a different pitcher now. He's better now than he was before he got hurt. And kinda he clearly getting overshadowed. Has,
got overshadowed. Kind of forgotten about just because of the injury. But, like, I also texted Ryan. It's like, you know, with Heal and Devi, you kind of just forgot about, you know, Schmidt, and he's always ranked higher than them in the prospect rankings. Before, you know, he's hurt, a more polished pitcher than both of them.
Yeah,
and you're like, he definitely has, he could be a start. No, he would be a starter on any other team.
I can't really think of many, like, maybe the Blue Jays, but just throw Ryu in the pen because Ryu is washed and he's not good anymore. But, like, our rotation right now, other than Garrett Cole, which you cannot put Garrett Cole in the bullpen, like, that's not realistic, but every starter has been good. So, there's none that you can just move to the bullpen. Like, Nestor's the first guy that you think of because that's what his role was, but, like, he's been so good as a starter that you can't put him in the bullpen right now.
Yeah.
So, like, do you go six-man rotation where that opens up the weakness of, like, that's one less bullpen arm, and if we continue to need, like, a lot of bullpen innings, we can't do that. Like, we can't just take away an arm, but, like, you can't soil Clark Schmidt by just keeping him in the bullpen. But I also don't want to send him down because of how good he is. Like, he's too good to be in AAA. So I think six-man rotation,
I am especially all on board.
Once all of the starters get stretched out, I think you go six-man rotation because then you should be able to get more length and just need like three or four innings max out of your bullpen every day.
I am all on board for that. You know, I think it, one, you know, there's injury concerns with some guys. You know, Seve's coming off Tommy John. Same thing with Monty and Tyone. Like, they're not going to pitch 200 innings. You're going to have to limit their innings somehow. I know they pitched last year, but, you know, you're not going to go that big of a jump even in year two. So you want to limit guys' innings, and how can you do that is a six-man rotation. We have enough good quality guys that you can run out a six-man rotation. It helps guys' health. It helps their longevity. It's going to help the bullpen as much, just because if you could go, you know, because what you're going to have is, what, 25 starts instead of 30 starts by doing that. So you're limiting their innings that way, but they could also still go deeper in per game, which helps your bullpen even more. So come playoff time, they're rested as well. They're not having 80 innings to cover.
Yeah, like, you just, if he gets through four or five starts and clearly just doesn't have what it takes to be a six inning starter, like, just move him back to the Mike King role that he's in now. Like,
yeah,
there's, but something tells me they're not going to do that, and they're just going to leave him in the bullpen, and he's never going to develop as a starter. The one Which guy we've suck. Homegrown that could actually be a good starter, other than Monty, they're just not going to do it. So that's probably what they'll do, and we'll be mad about it, because we're mad about almost everything that they decide they want to do. So yeah, we win game one. It was one of the most stressful and annoying wins we've ever had because of how bad Gerrit Cole was. But then we had our guy, Seve, come out for game two. And
we didn't mention in that game against the Blue Jays, that was his first win in 2 years as a starter. You know, almost.
Wasn't it since 2018?
So even again? Longer than that.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. It was also against the Blue Jays. That was the last team that he got a win as a starter. But really cool. So he's doing well, and then kind of continued that against the Tigers.
See, this game is what Gerrit Cole needs to be doing when he doesn't have it. Like, Seve didn't have it either in this game. He didn't get swing and misses. He didn't strike people out. He gave up seven hits.
Yeah, he got
But he gave up one run because it's the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're playing...
You can get away with mistakes.
Yeah, let your defense... That's why we got all these defenders. Let your defense help you when you're playing bad teams. If you don't have your A stuff, don't try and nibble and be perfect. Mm-hmm. Just throw the ball in the zone. Make them beat you. And Seve did it, and they didn't beat him. They scored one run off of him in seven hits. We had some great defensive plays.
Mm-hmm.
And Rizzo hit another home run, four home runs on the year. It's pretty cool. Yep. And we scored five runs in a nine-inning game for the second time this year.
Yep.
And
we did have a little bit of a blow up by our bullpen, but you can't get too mad about the bullpen. The bullpen has been really good this year.
Just,
I feel confident about everyone.
Every single person, Like, Marinaccio is the one I'm least confident about, but he's disgusting. And I'm like, if he comes in...
filthy stuff,
If he comes in, we're up by, like, two runs. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I don't mind.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. Miguel Castro can get a little wild, so can Chapman, but, like, I'm not, like, when they come in, I don't get the feeling that I got with pre-2020 Sessa. Like, when Sessa was actually good for 2 years... And I can't think of Nick Nelson. Like, we don't have anyone in the bullpen that makes you think the way you thought about Nick Nelson.
And like, there's no guys that I think it was like, oh, this guy, like, he's in here. Come on. Like, we're throwing the game.
Yeah.
Putting this guy in here.
And that's nuts. Like, there's not a single pitcher on this team that I'm not confident in.
Yeah. That's not to say they're not going to give up any runs or anything, but I feel good with them pitching.
Yeah. And then we scored five runs and only one home run. We had a lot of bunting and stealing to get some runs in. Anthony Rizzo stole third.
I love that. I keep saying this, but I like that, you know, small ball aspect. You know, we're always trying to hit home runs, but when we got on that, you know, hot streak at the end of the trade deadline, it was because those fast runners, you know, Greg Hallett, you know, doing his thing, Tim LeCastro, like, they just kept stealing and it was fun.
And it's like, IKF had two stolen bases, two hits, multi-hit game again. Like, he's been good now.
He
had
started
a really
the year
rough
struggling.
Start to the year. He's been hitting like
people were already
since the Orioles series.
Yeah, people were saying, come on, end the experiment. And he's like, come on, guys. You know, he's hitting well. He's stealing. That's what you want. Kind of going back to Glaber. It's like, you just want to contact the guy. Glaber's not a guy that's going to steal bases, even if he's on base.
Yeah.
But, like, just get on base, be a contact guy, move the line, and then, like, actually hit with runners in scoring position. Sounds easy enough.
And IKF, like, he's our eight hitter. You're not going to get a high slugging, high OPS out of every position in your lineup. Like, if IKF hits high 200s and steals bases, that's all we need.
With Gold Glove defense.
Yeah, like he doesn't need hit home runs. He doesn't need to get doubles and triples all the time and get a high slugging. Like, just get on base.
I like fast guys just because they kind of create havoc on the base paths. Even if they don't steal, you have that in the back of your mind as a pitcher, and you're like, oh, like I have to be like, be quick to the plate to throw, and then you kind of throw a bad pitch. You know, it creates, you know, it creates problems. I like it. Keep doing that. You know, I don't need you to hit 30 home runs, and I don't expect him to hit 30 home runs.
Yep. And we won game two. We win the series. That brings us to today. Mm-hmm. So they sat. And they sit Gallo and Glaber today.
Mm-hmm.
No, Donaldson and Glaber.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I don't like that they played Marwin over Glaber. Like, if you want Glaber to start hitting,
mm-hmm.
play him at least when there's a spot for him. Don't play Marwin Gonzalez over him.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they just want Marwin Gonzalez to get playing time. I don't care. I don't like Marwin Gonzalez, so whatever. Mm-hmm. But again, offense just non-existent. Didn't score a single run all game. We were
facing a former player, Michael Pineda, was starting.
Yep.
It's gotten huge.
Real hefty. Just... Yeah. Again, we had opportunities.
So just
didn't hit with runs in scoring position.
So Monty gave up a run. We're losing 1-0 heading into the eighth. And this inning just... Do you want to talk about it, Ryan? What happened in the eighth inning?
Yeah, so Donaldson they pinch it for Donaldson, leads off with a double. Then they put Tim LeCastro in. And we're like, okay, sweet. Like, we're going to tie this up. We have Tim LeCastro on second base, nobody out.
Mm-hmm.
How did...
Glaber then pinch hits.
Oh, Glaber. Okay. Willie Castro saved the lead for the Tigers because Glaber hit... He didn't hit it hard, but it went into the hole, and Willie Castro mm-hmm. had a diving stop from... If it got into the outfield and he didn't get that, like, that's a run.
Yeah. And Tim LeCastro tied the game. Scoring on that. Yeah.
So he stopped it, but we're first and third, nobody out, mm-hmm. in a one-run game. We're like, okay, we're tying this game at mm-hmm. least,
mm-hmm.
and we have the top of the order coming up. Aaron Hicks, been good all year, but runners in scoring position, he doesn't know how to hit, hits the ball straight up in the air to shortstop, where there's no chance of getting a run in. Like, it's Tim LeCastro at third. If you even just hit it kind of deep into the outfield, he can mm-hmm. score.
Yeah. He's
the fastest, one of the three fastest players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But Hicks hits it straight up into the infield.
Yeah.
But we're like, okay, I mean,
he's still the
guy on third with Judge up, one out. They walk Judge, smart idea by them. They mm-hmm. get to Rizzo, bring in Gregory Soto, the lefty, which Rizzo hits lefties pretty well.
Yeah.
And Rizzo is just like, he's being Rizzo. He's being a smart baseball player, just trying to get the ball in play for mm-hmm. Tim LeCastro. I just said how fast he is
mm-hmm.
to get in. And, like, he does put the ball in play, but he hits it right to Gregory Soto, and he's able to just flip it home and get the out. And then at that point, I was like, all right, we're not scoring. Like, Stan's good, but...
you just had that feeling. It's like we had runners on first and third, no outs. We're now bases loaded, two outs.
Yeah.
It just felt like we weren't going to score, and we didn't. Did he get a weak
It was grounder? Pretty weak grounder to second base. Just flipped it over to the first baseman and ended the rally.
Yep. Then the Tigers immediately go with runners on first and third, no outs. The same exact situation that we had. And I texted Ryan. I was like, well, cool. They're going to score at least a run.
Yeah.
You said they're going to score two runs. They did score two runs.
Yep. They got the bases loaded. Nobody out.
Yeah. It looked like they might have got out of that inning. Lukey got two outs. And then Austin Meadows hits that little blooper that Hicks just couldn't catch because it was just a
Dude, that inning, blooper. They got their first and third on two bloop hits. and then scored two runs on a bloop hit after we walked Miggy to load the bases on he's one hit away from 3,000 and Aaron Boone walked him. The boos were incredibly loud, but like that's the smart move. You're trying to win the baseball game, not win over the home crowd. But yeah, it ends up killing us anyway. They score two runs and we went down 1-2-3 in the next inning. Got shut out again.
So you would rather face Meadows than Cabrera? I know with Cabrera Licky, had okay, lefty-lefty?
Yeah. Okay. Meadows did, like, nothing all series.
Yeah.
And Miggy had went 3-for-4 the day before.
Yeah. Plus history was on the line. He probably
first ballot would have been Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Oh, 2,999 hits. I think I'd rather take my chances against Austin Meadows.
Okay. So that's where we stand at this point. We're 7-6, just above 500, a game.
One game back.
Out of first. Yeah. Like we said, not the worst start, you know, considering last year, but we really could have been better. You know, after that start against the Red Sox and Blue Jays, you're like, okay, these two series, we could sweep.
Yeah, it should have been 5-1.
And maybe even,
5-1-6-0, that's what it should have been. But, I mean, we have a series against the Guardians and then three more against Baltimore and three against the Royals. At this point, you need to go 6-0 on that back end. Like, you need to sweep both of those series. Like, the season isn't over if you don't sweep. But, like, to put yourself in a good spot where you want to be, you need to sweep both of those series because you couldn't do your job in these first two. The Guardians, at the beginning of the season, we have been like, okay, this should be an easy series win. With Jose Ramirez playing the way he has and their pitching being their pitching, this is not going to be an easy series. We should win, yes. A sweep, pretty unlikely.
So when I was announcing like the series that was coming up, I intentionally skipped over this Cleveland series because I didn't think this was going to be a cakewalk, cupcake walk.
Cupcake.
But
It's not going to be an easy series, but we should win. We are the better baseball team. Like on paper, if the offense can be the offense, that'd be pretty cool. It's in New York. I'm afraid for Joey Gallo.
I'll be at the game tomorrow.
So, oh, is that the hoodie game?
That's the hoodie game.
I'm so excited to see what that hoodie's like. I feel like it's going to be paper thin.
I'm going to take a picture. I'll wear it on the next podcast. You know, I'll be wearing it. But yeah, going to that game. We'll see. It's Tyone against to be determined. We don't know who's pitching for the Guardians yet, but I'm excited. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm really nervous for Gallo tomorrow. It's either going to be
if he strikes out that first at bat.
This is what I'm thinking. Are they going to give him an at bat, or are they just going to boo him the second he steps into the box?
I think they boo him immediately.
Yeah, I think they do too, but I hope they give him an at-bat. Like, let him get an at-bat at Yankee Stadium to do something. He ended this game with a broken bat single. So, like, at least
he's let on
him
the roll.
Try to do something before you start booing him. But, like, you look at him after the game, like, in the dugout after his at-bats, he's just, like, broken right now. It's so sad to see. Like, he's a much better player than this. But, like, he needs to start doing something.
Yeah.
He's not even playing good defense. They scored their run today because of his bad defense, their first run. Like, and he had that bad throw on whatever day. He had a bad throw in the first or second game that allowed a run.
I think it was the first game.
Yeah, and that was a makeable play, and he just had a horrible throw. So,
yeah.
It's
just not a good start to his Yankee career. He's sitting, 150?
That's generous. I don't even know if it's that high. So, we'll see. A series win would be huge here. Sweep would be amazing if we could do it.
What's your next couple of series, I guess up until the Toronto series, what's your expectations, hope? I mean, I guess I know your hope.
My hope is 8-1. If I'm going to be honest with myself, I think we probably go 6-3. I don't think we sweep any of these series. I think we win the Guardians and lose one of the games in the Royals and Baltimore because Boone's going to punt one of the games of each series because he does it every fucking time. But it's it should be 8-1. We should sweep Baltimore, we should sweep the Royals, and we should win the series against the Guardians. But I can't say I expect them to do that after what just happened.
Yeah.
At least Baltimore is in New York. I have much more faith that they'll sweep Baltimore and New York than I had in Baltimore with that stupid left field.
Yeah, they really ruined that ballpark.
Also, something about the offense so far this year, in the Baltimore series and Texas or Detroit series, we've had like at least three or four home runs that like should have been home runs, but either it was Hicks very cold got or the wind.
A hold of one.
Judge. There was one Hicks again today. I think it was today where he was backed up against the wall. If the wind wasn't blowing and it was more than 50 degrees, that would have been a home run.
Yeah. So he had one against the Orioles, that great catch in center field by the Orioles center fielder. But, you know, maybe in the summer, that's probably most definitely a home run. Yeah. And then same thing with the Tigers.
Yeah,
so once it heats up, you expect the Yankees offense to heat up. And
it has
you just
year.
Can't be – It can't be this bad. Their offense is not this bad. Yeah. Three runs, that's...
I'm not saying this is like a top five offense for sure. Like, I don't think we'll shake out at the end of the year as a top five run scoring offense, but we're not bottom five.
Yeah.
Yep. I refuse. And like, I don't think we're as bad as we were last year. It looks worse than it did last year, but I cannot believe that Donaldson will be a 500 OPS guy. Aaron Judge and Stanton aren't going to be in the sevens. Gallo is not going to be a 300 OPS guy. Like, yeah, Gallo might not be the 800 something OPS that he was in Texas, but he's not this bad.
Yeah. That's why I think you're going to hear boos that I think Yankee fans are going to expect this. I don't expect it, but I think a lot of people's leash as, you know, they're not. Yeah. They don't have that long a leash with Gallo.
And that's the thing that – how long should the Yankees' leash with Gallo be? Like, if we're in May and he's still not playing well, like, do we just be like, okay, like, this isn't working. We need to move on from each other and do something else. Because, like, I think Gallo is still a good player, but maybe New York's just not –
What's the play there then? If you cut, is it sign Conforto, and then trade Gallo?
I don't want Conforto. Okay. There's a reason Conforto hasn't been signed.
Yeah.
But I think you try and trade him, see if anyone wants him. But more importantly, like, at this point, Brett Gardner is better than Joey Gallo. Should sign Brett Gardner right now, send Tim LeCastro back down, and just swap them when, as long as Joey Gallo's like, no, because we don't have space. When we're in Yankee Stadium, it should be Judge, Stanton, and Hicks, like, often. As long as Joey Gallo's being, like, just putrid. But, like, yeah, in May, once it heats up and everything, if he's still horrible, we have to do something. Like, trade for a different left fielder. If they want Joey Gallo, cool, but if they don't, cut him. Or, like, we're not paying him anything, I don't think. I'm pretty sure...
$10 million.
I thought Texas was paying it.
It was just last year. Yeah. Wait, we pay him.
He's paid $10 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's his last year. It's his last year. He's
I know he's a free agent next year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's we can only do it for so long. Like, if he's doing this near the trade deadline, like, we can't just keep doing it.
Yeah. Like, something has to change one way or the other. Something's going to change either positively or negatively, but something's going to happen.
Yeah, and then Judge needs to start being Judge. Stanton needs to start being Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
DJ keep being him. Donaldson needs to be the bringer of rain. I don't understand what's going on. Makes no sense to me. I want Glaber to come back.
Yep.
Oswald Peraza has been horrible in AAA, by the way, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Volpe hasn't been great. He's had a couple home runs and made some great defensive plays, but I don't think his overall numbers are all that good right now. He started the year off really bad.
Yeah.
I'm not like saying they're done as prospects or anything, but like there's no immediate solution to a lot of this team's problems. They just need to figure it out with the players on the roster.
And I don't think the first guy up is not going to be Volpe.
Yeah, it's going to be Peraza.
Yeah. But yep.
Yeah, so that's where we are. Got a game tomorrow against the Guardians. Can't wait. I will always love to watch the Yankees, even no matter how bad they are. I'm excited for this series. We have day off Monday, which always makes me sad. I swear to everything in my life, if Aaron Boone rests one of our best players on Sunday when we have a game or day off the next day,
we didn't say against the Orioles when he gave Rizzo the day off.
We had a day off the next day.
That's
why I think it might be vaccination, because why else would you give him a day off when he has a day off the next day other than like he was sick, but he pinch hit. So like, I don't know. Season has been frustrating. We'll be back here. I think, are you around Sunday to record?
I am around Sunday.
Okay. So, well, you'll get episodes for two series in a row. That's something like, I think as often as we can, we should aim for that. If it works out that way. But so just for you guys to look forward to, where every time we can record the day a series ends, we will. Other than that, we'll shoot for weekly. We'll start, I think you had the idea of live streaming some games, just like watching it, put the score bug up on the screen, just get our reactions, chat with some people, we watch the game. Obviously we can't stream the actual game, we will get banned. But yeah, you watch along with us. So that'll, we have that to look forward to. We'll start live streaming our episodes. Like I said, I'll tweet that out. So if you enjoyed this episode, I'm sure a lot of you share the same frustrations with us. Definitely feel free to reach out to our Twitter. I'm trying to be more active on Twitter, just kind of tweeting my thoughts during the game. My Twitter's at PerceptRW. And then,
that's a good idea. I should start doing that.
Yeah, you should make a Twitter.
I need to start being more active. I got to have that social media presence. But I do like kind of live tweeting throughout the game, just kind of your reactions.
Yeah.
Stuff happens.
Yeah, and then obviously we have the podcast Twitter at The Bronx Story. It's the same thing on Instagram. We post whenever any episode goes live. Also follow on Spotify, or I think you can on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to it so you get notifications. Remember to leave a rating or review if you do like the episodes. Same thing goes for YouTube. We hope this is going to be a great year. Hopefully the Yankees succeed. Hopefully we have fun. There's nothing I'd rather do for a career than talk about baseball. But for now, we're just going to have fun with you guys. And let us know if there's things you want during the season, what you want to look forward to, anything like that. Oh, one thing I want to do at the end of, for each of these episodes, I want to talk about like star performer. So just throwing it out there quick, my star performer of the year has been Nestor.
Gonna
steal that one. He's been crazy good.
But I'm going to say Clark Schmidt just because he was my, you know, breakout star, and he did have a couple eye-opening performances. So yeah. I'm going to say Clark Schmidt.
Yeah, I think other answers, like Rizzo's been great, DJ is back, mm-hmm. bullpen, yeah. pitching in general, Matt Blake, all good options.
Yeah.
Not Aaron Boone, not Brian Cashman. But yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and as always, let's go Yanks.
Let's go Yankees, let's play ball, let's score some runs.
Please, please, please. All right, see you guys.
Bye.